Our scripture lesson today, or our scripture reading, our strengthening for the message, comes from Psalm 34. All 22 verses. Because when I was trying to figure this out, I was like, well, I'll use this part. Well, no, I don't want to let this part go away. And I like this part, and this fits. So I'm not going to give and take away. I'm just going to read it all. Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and He delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and keep your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their cry. To the face of the Lord, it is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones so that not one will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in Him. Good stuff. Let us pray. Father, set aside our hearts and strengthen us for this message. Let it be sent out and come back in fullness, that we may be delivered out today into the world, hearing what You have for us and strengthening us in the journey we take. We thank You, Father, for these words, and we love You. And we praise You through Jesus' precious name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. History lesson. Okay, people, put them on. Get your thinking caps on. The year is 1616 to 1648. What took place? All right, I guess I've got to start an education class now. That would be the 30 Years' War. Come on, people. From 1616 to 1648 raged the 30 Years' War. And do you know how it started? Does anybody in here study history? Mason, how did it start? By George Washington. I'll see you after church. Hey, he's the only one who put his hand up. The 30 Years' War started because religious people couldn't get along. Did you know that? In 1616, they got to fighting so bad in Europe, they started fighting with each other, and it took them 30 years to settle it out. And what happened? Everybody saw the chance to get in the fight, and they joined in it. And it went from being a religious thing to being a political thing to, in the 25th year, nobody knew why they were fighting. 30 years. War raged across all of Europe, from the Netherlands to Spain. 30 years. Millions of people were displaced from homes and killed. And the minute one person got the upper hand, Somebody else came in and claimed superiority and started the thing all over again. I can't imagine it. And yet we see it every day. We see more than the 30 years war. We see the constant beating of any one person that stands up and says, I am Christian. German pastor Paul Gerhardt and his family were forced to flee their home. German pastor Paul Gerhardt had written of peace and love and understanding in all things, seek ye first the Lord. That was his biggest thing. He was considered a powerhouse of Protestant movement. A great German pastor wrote wonderful hymns. You would think a man like that, that close to God, would be strengthened beyond all belief. One night as they stayed in a village inn, homeless, their home was taken, destroyed, taken from them, and afraid because Paul Gerhardt was going to be killed. His wife broke down and began to cry openly in despair. She felt that God had forgotten her and the family, all that they had given. And so to comfort her, Paul Gerhardt reminded her of Scripture promises about God's provision and keeping. Psalm 34. A lot of words didn't hold her up. Then he went out to the garden to be alone, and Paul wrote these words. He said, I fell against the garden wall and cried for an hour because I too had succumbed to despair. I was destroyed inside. I was broken in my heart because everything had been taken from me. How could God do that? He had come to his darkest hour and he began to pray. And he went in and sat down at the table and he felt a burden start to lift. He sensed anew the Lord's presence. Taking his pen, he wrote a hymn that has been a comfort to many. And you know the words. Unfortunately, I can't sing it yet. Give to the winds thy fears. Hope and be undismayed. God hears thy sighs and counts thy tears. God shall lift up thy head. Through waves and clouds and storms, he gently clears the way. Wait thou his time, so shall the night soon end in joyous day. Trivia question. Who sang that song? Are you kidding me?
We're sorry.
Tennessee Ernie Williams. Everybody should know that. That big deep bass. Gift. Well, I ain't going to try it. I ain't got it. It's in our darkest hour. It's when our heart is the most broken. And unfortunately, that's the way it's got to happen. Sometimes. It's when you think, why? That God prepares to heal your heart. And I'm not talking about the physical muscle that's in there pumping along. Everybody knows how your heart works. Especially if you get around a tractor collection. He's talking about what the heart means. It means the soul. It means in those darkest moments, and the psalmist writer is writing that. If you look in your Bible, you can see that Psalm 34 was written by David. It was written after he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away. To protect his family, he acted like a nut. Remember that, honey, when I'm acting the way I do. I'm protecting my family. Well, I'm probably just nuts to start with, but we see it as a source of great strength. Pastor Gerhardt received new hope. He said, put yourself in God's hands. It is to me the strength of our hearts only when we allow Christ to lead us. It seems like lately in my world, I'm seeing a lot of pain. There's ebb and flow of all this, and I experience it all. And as a pastor, it becomes different. It's not just one moment. It's a spectrum of them. And I can't help who I am. I want to fix it. And that's not always the plan. No matter what I try to do, I get stuck in this moment that wants to fix it. But David, writing in the Psalms, said, ain't nothing you can do. When the heart is broken, only He can heal it. I can fix a lot of different things. Recently, I came home, and the humidifier that I had bought so many years ago had quit working. And my lovely wife says, we're just going to go buy another one. Buy? We ain't going to go spend no money on that. I'll fix it. I ain't never worked on one of them things in my life. I could have been looking at a piano for all I knew. But I took it apart. Oh, well, once I got it apart, I figured out what was wrong. And I fixed it. And it's working fine again. And that's a great thing to be able to do, is to look at stuff like that and fix it. And as Christians, and it was funny hearing those words come from Lori's mouth, we're charged to fix it. How do you fix it? By prayer. By praising God and letting Him work His own way. The hardest thing for me is to be able to see hurt and pain, and I can't fix it. Gerhardt leaned against a garden wall after his wife had broke down, and he had stood strong for her and then broke his own self down. The psalmist writer is laying out, David is laying out these great words, especially later on in the psalm. He says in 17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. What does he mean by that? He means those that believe in Christ, those that believe in God, you cry out and the Lord hears you. That's the deal. And what a wonderful feeling it is. Because who can fix everything? Well, it certainly ain't me, but it's Him. I've been experiencing a lot of brokenheartedness around me. It drives me to thoughts. It makes me wonder why. It carries me into so many things. And it does the same for us. The beauty lies in my paradox, in our paradox. When you see something wrong, you want to fix it, right? There ain't a single person in this room that will shake their head no. I want to fix it. And yet you can't always. But the beauty of understanding that is allowing Him to do it and setting back and watching. David's writing in those Psalms, come taste the Lord. See what He has to offer. See His goodness. See His righteousness. When the disciples were put forward, they were given a charge to go out and heal and pick up the sick. But the only way they could do it was how? From the charge of Christ, Him who fixes. The beauty lies that we have Jesus Christ to do this for us. In verse 11 of Psalm 34, David, writing these words, talking to those around him, says, come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a very healthy thing to have. You know what the fear of the Lord is? That's when you get out in the parking lot after you've been to the grocery store and you fish around in your pocket. You're like, cashier, give me a nickel too much. I got to go take that back. That's called the fear of the Lord. Not just my grandparents and everybody else. That's the fear of the Lord. That if I don't carry that nickel back and hand it to the cashier lady, the tire is going to fall off my truck on the way home. That's what I think. That's my way of, a good way of being fearful of the Lord. And I always love to look. And this happened. Recently, I actually had a quarter too much. And I parked all the way in the back of the parking lot at the grocery store, because everybody always takes the front row spots. And I'll admit I'm fat and lazy and I want them too. But that day, the only one I could get was 4 miles away, uphill both ways. And all I wanted to do was go get some ice cream. I had a list, but my wife knows if you send me to the grocery store alone, ice cream is coming home. It don't matter if it's on the list or not, I know we need it. And so I'm in there and I'm shopping, and people are bumping into me, and I'm the picture of perfect patience. And I get up there and I wait, and this lady in front of me takes forever. I get up there and I buy all the groceries, and I'm walking out there, and I see my truck off in the distance. God, why I park so far away? And I'm finally getting it. Here's my truck. I got the receipt. And I sit down in the seat. And I look and I'm like, oh man, are you kidding me? There's a quarter too much. 25 cents. I look at the grocery store off in the distance. And I talk to God. I'm like, hey, look. What about if I just give it back the next time I'm here? He don't answer. I said, please, he still don't answer. So I get out of the truck, and I walk across the Sahara Desert back to the grocery store. And I go up to the cashier, and I'm like, hello. And she goes, yes. I said, you gave me a quarter too much. Here it is back. And she goes, are you serious? And I'm standing there sweating and panting. It's 25 degrees below zero. But I had to walk across Alaska to get here. And I'm like, yes, I'm very serious. Do you know Jesus? And she went, no. And I said, get to know him, and you'll understand why I had to bring that back. That's a fear of the Lord. And that's what the psalmist, that's what David is saying. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And it is a good thing. It is necessary that you have that fear so that when you get broken by tragedies that are coming, you are able to find the rebuild. How many people walk around this world in tragedy, having lost and having nowhere to turn to repair it? Oh my goodness, it tears me up. I see people at work all the time that are blatant with their dislike for Christianity. Sunday morning, that's my time. I work all week long. I'm going to do what I want on Sunday morning. I don't need to go to church. No, you don't need to. What happens when something hits their life? Their heart? How does it get healed? David goes on to write. And we ought to put these words down somewhere. You ought to write them down. You ought to keep them nearby. Verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. How many people in this room have been crushed in spirit? Amen. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Verse 18. Y'all put that on your refrigerator. Write it on your bathroom mirror. Write it on your forehead backwards so you can see it in the morning. But it's always the Lord. And we have to listen. How many people know that you're supposed to listen and don't listen? In a little town, a dam burst. It flooded the whole town. And the water kept rising up. And a preacher climbed out on the roof of his house because he couldn't get out. And so he sat and he waited. And he said to the Lord, he said, Lord, you hear me up there, I know. Save me. Well, in a little while, here come a boat. And the fellow said, I want to get in the boat and go out of here. The preacher said, no, I'm waiting on the Lord. So they went. And he sat there and the water kept coming up. And here come another boat by. He said, want to ride out of here? He said, no, I'm waiting on the Lord. I've been praying. He's going to miraculously save me. Now the water's right there, boy. It's right at his feet as he's sitting on the roof. And a helicopter comes over the top. And they put a ladder down. And they said, come on, we're going to get you out of here. He said, no, the Lord's going to save you. What a man drowned. He gets to heaven. you're standing up there, and St. Peter says, well, you're a preacher. You get to talk directly to the Lord. Would you like to ask him anything? He said, yes. So the Lord stands there. He said, Lord, I was calling to you. Did you hear me? Yes, I did. He said, I needed you. Did you hear me? Yes, I did. He said, how comes you let me drown? He said, drown? I sent you two boats and a helicopter. We got to listen. When we're called into, we have to listen. When we have something that is breaking us in pieces, we have to listen. And I tell you, it ain't always easy to hear. But when it's there, it's real. David is talking about that. At verse 18, that's the point of Psalm 34. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And he saves those who are crushed in spirit. We're called sometimes to actually do the healing. And we don't even know it. In a large school system in the big city, they had a habit of going and seeking out children who were sick or in the hospital. They'd send teachers out to them to keep them along in their studies so that they wouldn't fall behind. And so a young teacher, she is given an assignment to go to a big hospital and seek out this young boy, 11 years old. She took down the child's name and room number and went and saw his regular teacher. And she said, we're studying nouns and adverbs in class right now. I'd be grateful if you could help him understand so he doesn't fall too far behind. So she said, okay. She went to see the boy in the hospital that afternoon. Nobody had told her what was wrong. And so when she was brought into his room, she found this 11-year-old boy who had been badly burned in a house fire, laying in terrible pain. And it stopped her. And she didn't know what to do. She went over to the bed and she looked the situation over and she said, I've been sent here by the school to teach you your nouns and your adverbs. And she stammered her way through a lesson and she left. And she felt like she hadn't done a single thing. The next day when she showed up, she was walking down the hallway, the head nurse caught her by the arm and stopped her and said, what did you do to that boy? Well, now she really felt that she had messed up. She must have done something wrong, and she began to apologize. And the head nurse, with tears starting to come out, said, no, you don't understand. We had been so worried about that boy because he had lost hope. He had given up. And ever since yesterday, his attitude changed. He's fighting back. He's trying to respond to the treatment. It's as though he decided to live. 2 weeks later, the boy explained to this teacher what had happened. He said he had given up hope. His heart was broken. He had nothing left until the day arrived that she showed up, and he came to a very simple realization. He expressed it this way. They wouldn't send a teacher to this hospital to work on nouns and adverbs if they didn't expect me to live, would they? Oh. They wouldn't have sent a Savior if God didn't expect us to be broken and needed fixing. Say amen.
Amen.
That's what David's writing about. We have to listen and we have to know. And you know what happens? Matthew chapter 11, in the words of our Savior, verse 26, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord in heaven, because you have hidden things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, all this was for good measure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal to him. Excuse me. Verse 28. Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I will heal your broken heart. Greg, come up here for a second. Now I'm going to tell you something that you don't know. Maybe there's a couple of you that do, but I know it. And here's a good example of where this sermon came from. Come up here and stand with me for a minute. Turn around here. Y'all know he'd been in and out of the hospital for his heart. At one of his visits, and I don't know how many of y'all heard this, it absolutely stunned me, and I promised him this sermon was coming. I just had to wait for it to finish cooking, which it did. At one of his visits, the doctors told him that he had had a little heart attack years ago. And that one of the vessels or tubes that go into the heart failed. Do you know what happened? Greg's heart healed. It built a set of new tubes around the dead one, reconnected up and started clicking again. Ain't that right?
That's right.
That's called heart healed. That's an amazing thing that you didn't know. Now you know. Now you know that God is great and Jesus is full. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. Thank you, Greg. That's what I'm talking about. Your heart can and will be healed. The psalmist writer is writing that. No matter what happens, no matter what pushes down on you, you turn to the Lord. Because He's watching. He's listening. He knows. He's waiting. And I have to do this. I'm going to pay for this, but I have to do it. The greatest example of how the Lord is listening when your heart is break and what it'll do to heal comes from a movie. Comes from probably the greatest movie ever put on film. Shenandoah. Love that movie. I had to watch this to learn it because I'm going to recite old Jimmy Stewart's part. And yes, I sat there bawling like a little baby, because I do every time. I've seen that movie 12 million times. But it's the scene. It's the best scene. It activates the whole movie. It brings it all together. It shows a man whose heart is so broken when he listens. You see, he's sitting at the dinner table, and he's done said his prayer. Jacob and Ann, Jonathan, and the boy are missing. Martha, his wife, has been dead since 1848, years 1864. They had been killed in the Civil War. And he sits at that supper table and he says, Lord, we plowed this ground and we cleared this ground. And we planted it. And we raised it. And we cared for it. And that's as far as he can go. And he gets up from the table where he is broken. And he goes to that cemetery to see Martha. And he stands there with his hat in his hand. Big man, big strong man. He looks down at her. He says, I don't even know what to say to you anymore, Martha. There's not much I can tell you about this war. It's like all wars, I guess the undertakers are the ones winning it. The politicians, they'll talk about the glory of it. And the old men will talk about the need of it. And the soldiers, well, they just want to go home, Martha. I guess you're not so lonely anymore with Ann and James and Jacob. And maybe the boy. You didn't know Ann, did you? Well, you're going to like her. You'd have liked her. You'll like her, Martha. Why, she and James are so much alike. They're just like, no, Martha, we were never that much alike, were we? We just sort of grew alike through the years, but I just wish I could know what you think about it all, Martha. And maybe it wouldn't seem so bad to me if you were just here to talk me through it. And if you've seen the movie, right then, the church bell starts ringing. And his eyes light up, and he looks down at the grave, and he looks off and he goes, "You're just not going to give up on me, are you?" And he slams his hat on his head, and he walks back to his house, and he rings that bell, and all the family came out, and he's a hot-looking man now. "You all thought you'd get away with it, didn't you?" And all his sons and everything's like, "Oh, what?" He goes, "Why didn't somebody tell me this morning was Sunday? We're going to be late. Get in there and get dressed." And his two boys from the barn are standing there, and they said, "Pa," and he goes, "You better saddle them horses. Get my carriage. We got to go." And so off to church they go. Old Denver Pyle standing up there, Reverend Bajorling, no beard. And they're singing, "Our God is a Mighty Fortress." And the door bumps, and the usher that's standing behind the door, he bumps out of the way. And in comes this long line. And they all come in and they wrestle their way in. And the woman that's caring for Ann and James's baby, because they've been killed, the little girl, she's carrying it and the baby's fussing. And they all get in the line and the baby starts fussing. They finish the song up. Oh, Pastor Bajorling stands up and he goes, "And now we will turn to..." And the baby keeps crying. And he looks down. "And now we will turn to you..." And the baby keeps crying louder. And he looks at his page and he says, "And now..." Baby keeps crying. He says, "How much longer, oh Lord? How much longer? With God's help, we will turn to page number 57. And as he says that, the door opens. And the boy comes in that room. And old Pastor Bajorling's like... And when... he turns around and sees his answer to prayer, his heart is healed. And they start singing the doxology. "I'm snotted and running full of tears." And the heart is healed. That's how it works. I invite you to watch that movie. I know we got to show it. We'll show it when I won't be here to see it. Because ain't none of y'all making fun of me for that. But that's the beauty of it. When our heart is the most crushed, Jesus Christ said, "Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Do you understand? Next Sunday, we're going to celebrate Palm Sunday. We're going to start the celebration of the reason why we can go somewhere, why the heart can be healed, why we are all saved, for the man from Galilee that gave his life that we all may live. And no matter how hard, we have Him to get us through. Hallelujah. Say amen.
Amen.
Join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for the love that You have given us. We thank You for those words written first by King David and then echoed by Your precious Son. "Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." When our heart breaks, Father, when we start looking at the things around us that push down, pray, Father, that we remember to talk to You. Pray, Father, remember that we can be lifted up in those moments. I pray for each and every one of my family in here this morning, and for their families, and for their families, and for all the lives that we will touch, that we will put it forth, Father, that the heart will be healed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
As we prepare to sing the last hymn, I invite you to come forward if you need the prayer bench. If you need me, here I am. If you need that strengthening.